hello there. Thank you so much for making part of your day a listen in to Take Two with Jerry and Debbie and you on EWTN Radio. I am Jerry Usher along with Debbie Giorgiani. Debbie, today with the you part of it, the Take Two family, we're going to give them an opportunity to rest their fingers from dialing in to call the program. Yeah. And they're most welcome to listen to what is going to be an amazing conversation.
Well, it's very rare we do pre-recorded broadcasts, Jerry, and when our producer, Michael McCall, arranges this for us, I think it's really helpful because it allows us all to listen and learn. And so we're not taking any phone calls today. We're going to have a very special guest on after we get back from the first break, and we're very excited because we just know him, we love him, we trust him. It's Monsignor Charles Pope, and he's incredible. And Jerry and I kind of stumbled upon this book that he wrote a couple years back, where he addressed all the misunderstandings and the misconceptions that people have about the Catholic faith. And given that our Take Two family, the majority of you all are Catholic, right? But there's a lot that are Catholic friendly and Catholic seeking and Catholic curious. And this book is so amazing. 500 questions, and he answered them. I mean, that in and of itself is such an incredible feat and project to take on. And I just think it's so wonderful that he would do that for us. And so we wanted to have him on this pre-recorded broadcast. But Jerry, before we get going with all this, I have to ask you, just a couple days ago, you celebrated your 64th birthday. Did you do anything special?
It was special because I was with my seminarian brothers. Nice. Here at the Institute for Priestly Formation. We're in the final week of that six-week summer program, mm-hmm. which I have shared before. It has really just been life-changing for me. It has just revolutionized my prayer life and my relationship with God, the Father, and how I see my vocation. And what's interesting is we had a talk given by a bishop, auxiliary bishop of Joliet, Illinois, and his name escapes me right now. But he went through the IPF, Institute for Priestly Formation. He went through IPF as a seminarian 25 years ago. And during his presentation, he said basically the same thing that I've thought this whole time. He says, it renovated my prayer life, it revolutionized my prayer life. And I thought, you know what, Bishop, I can totally relate to that. So
wow. You're having an extraordinary time this summer.
Not bad, thanks be to God. Yeah, it'll be back to the classroom here in a number of weeks. But I'm kind of looking forward to that, getting back to the seminary for year number two.
Yeah, that's really cool. Are you talking about the new auxiliary bishop in the Diocese of Joliet, Illinois? Is that who you're talking about?
Don't know for sure.
Is it Dennis Spies or Spies?
Spies. Yeah, Spies. It is. Yeah, that's who it is. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, okay. Cool. Very cool. I always mix up how to say his last name. Okay. Very cool. So he was great, huh? That's awesome.
It was excellent. Yeah.
That's so cool. Okay. So back to the subject that we're going to talk about today. But wait a minute. I've got another thing I've got to share. You know, today's Marty's birthday. I know. Today is Marty's birthday. And, you know, it's just a special day. I promised him that he would at least have a birthday week. You know how I get a birthday month, Jerry. He gets a birthday week. And, you know, he's just so sweet. And I've said this before, and I'll say it when Monsignor Pope is on. He just thinks the fireworks are for him, and I don't have the heart to tell him they're not. And it's okay. I'll let him live in that fantasy world of that all these fireworks go off for his birthday, which is not true. But you know, today we're talking about this wonderful book that Monsignor Charles Pope has written, and about these 500 questions. And Jerry, I think it's so important because in this day and age when we have a lot of technology, a lot of information, a lot of things at our fingertips where we can get answers rather quickly, you know, some of the answers we get, they're not accurate.
Well, that's right. Yeah, we can get misled so easily on the internet, online, and now there's, you know, ChatGPT, and which is actually I found to be surprisingly reliable for its orthodoxy, though I don't use it for anything official that I'm doing. But the internet could be a real minefield. I mean, you could do a search for, you know, Catholic teaching on the Eucharist, and you might get EWTN.com and Catholic.com, and mixed in with that would be this anti-Catholic fundamentalist.com and that anti-Catholic Presbyterian.com. And so you got to be careful, you know, where you're going to go to find mm-hmm. the real teachings on the things like the Eucharist and the important teachings of our faith. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's one thing I can tell our Take Two family. We can trust Monsignor Charles Pope. He is amazing and he delivers the message so brilliantly, so accurately, and where we can all understand and absorb. So you got to stay with us this entire hour, okay? Please, this is a very important broadcast where we are providing some information, formation, and resources for you so that you have all the answers and you can share it with your family and friends so you feel confident about your spiritual life and you know how to answer certain things about the sacraments and about things that we believe as Catholics. So stay tuned in the entire hour because Michael McCall, our producer, he spent a lot of time arranging this for all of us and we want to make the most of this hour. But Jerry, I'm excited about it. I think it's great. I also think that in this beautiful, precious blood month of Jesus, right, where we celebrate the precious blood of Jesus, it is so important that we dive deep. What do you say?
Diving deep is sounds just fine to me, absolutely. So that's what we're going to do with Monsignor Pope. And if you want to get a jump start on ordering the book, we're going to have a short pause for a couple minutes for a break. If you want to go to EWTNRC.com, that's for religious catalog, EWTNRC.com. The book by Monsignor Charles Pope is titled Catholic and Curious, Your Questions Answered. Catholic mm-hmm. and Curious, Your Questions Answered. It's available at EWTNRC.com, which, of course, is open 24/7, so you can shop there anytime.
And, you know, we're at the beginning of July, but I have to tell you, folks, I start shopping for Christmas in August. So I would highly recommend everyone checking out EWTNRC.com on a regular basis because they have a lot of cool features and products that they are sharing with all of us with some discounts and free this and free that. I just love all the free stuff. So that's really wonderful. And, yeah, I think this hour we're going to spend with one another when Monsignor Charles Pope is coming up next, and we're so excited. Please just sit back, listen, and absorb. Maybe take notes, right, Jer?
That is right. We hope that you take notes on a regular basis, but especially today's broadcast. It's a pre-record here on Marty Giorgiani's birthday, July 3rd. We're inviting you to sit this one out on the phones, but don't go anywhere from your radio speakers, or if you're in your car, or wherever you happen to be listening. Monsignor Charles Pope will be in here. We'll join him in just a moment here on this Take Two with Jerry and Deppy episode. Stay with us. Great to have you with us on Take Two with Jerry and Deppy. And you, it is your show, as we always say. We're inviting you to sit this one out on the phones today, but don't sit it out with your ears. We are so glad that you're listening because, as we promised, we have a special guest who's joining us right now to talk about a recent book that he has published. And it covers basically, well, I'm going to guess just about everything we believe as Catholic Christians. And it is a book about questions and answers. And Debbie will tell you about that in a moment. But Monsignor Charles Pope is with us. He is the pastor of Holy Comforter St. Cyprian Catholic Church in Washington, D.C. He is very much involved in Catholic media. He is on the Guadalupe Radio Network's The Quest at 4 p.m. Central, 5 Eastern Time on Tuesdays and Fridays. And his website is Monsignor Pope, and that's MSGR, MonsignorPope.com. Monsignor, welcome to our broadcast.
Well, it's great to be here. Thank you.
Well, and Monsignor, the book is recent for Jerry and I because we came across it when we were looking at books and products that could really help our listeners ask those questions that they have, misunderstandings, misconceptions. And the interesting thing is, I think you wrote the book several years back, but it's the first time we came across it. And I got to tell you, 500 questions answered. I don't know how you did that. You should be like in the Guinness World Book of Records. Records or something.
Well, you know, this is a compendium of columns I wrote for over 10 years for the newspaper, our Sunday Visitor. And as you may know, they've chosen to discontinue print publication, at least on a weekly basis, and they don't have a... Anyway, but so that ended. But This book is a kind of a compendium. I'd almost like to put out a second volume because in all those years, I mean, these books, these questions were sent in and I would write the answers and it would be published both online and in the print edition. And the one thing I do like most about it, if I do say so myself, is that these are real questions that real Catholics wrote in and asked. This isn't made up by the author, me. These are the real questions that came and my best answers. So,
well, and Monsignor, for those that watch us on video, could you hold the book up to the video screen there? It's so beautiful. Look at that. Catholic and Curious. And guys, you can get that book right now at EWTNRC.com. That's the religious catalog. 500 questions answered by the one, the only Monsignor Charles Pope. Monsignor, so Jerry and I came across your book. We love it. But I have to ask you this because I have been dying to ask you this. I want to know if this is in the book and I haven't found it yet. I heard you recently on Catholic radio say that we get it all wrong when we say things like there's no marriage in heaven. Is that in the book, Monsignor?
I think it must be. I'll just scan. But anyway, I can just answer maybe live here, too. I think that Jesus doesn't exactly say there's no marriage, as if people's earthly marriages mean nothing in heaven. He says that in heaven, people live like the angels. They are neither given in marriage nor are married. So not given in marriage, nor do they marry in heaven. Mm-hmm. Now, I think it's the main thing I want to emphasize in my answer is I've actually had a lot of Catholics say, well, I guess my spouse will be just like anybody else in heaven, or just even maybe just a stranger. And no. Heaven will perfect our earthly relationships. There's this beautiful communion of saints that we look forward to, and all of our earthly relationships will be perfected. And so husband and wife will have greater knowledge and love and encouragement for each other than ever before. Right now, it's a lot of, you don't understand what I'm saying. Listen to me, you know. But in heaven, we'll know as we're known, and it'll be a beautiful thing. And I think that, so I just want to correct the idea. Jesus, there's no reason to have marriages, I mean, the ceremonies in heaven, because that's for procreation here on earth. But that doesn't mean the people who were married here on earth are just, you know, there's no special relationship in heaven. It wouldn't involve sexual intimacy because that wouldn't be necessary or even desirable there, because there'll be greater things that we'll have. Yeah.
You do realize that there's a lot of jokes going on when they in marriages when they hear that, right, Monsignor? Because a lot of marriages, they're like, okay, when I'm done with this marriage and I get to heaven, we're done. We don't need to be together anymore.
You know, yeah, just you're right. I do think that, by the way, I do think that there is this. Some people say, well, what if a person was married more than once? I said, well, there's no jealousy in heaven either.
Right? Oh, my goodness, Monsignor, you're changing everything. I love it.
Yeah, I mean, this is, you know, we'll be perfected and we'll be happy for every good thing that happened to the ones we love.
That's awesome.
Even if it
That's
wasn't
awesome.
Just about me, it's not all about me.
Well, I broke the news. I broke the news to Marty recently. I said, Marty, Monsignor Charles Pope said, we're not finished. And when we get to heaven, we're going to be together forever. And he looked at me. He said, Jerry, no joke. Marty looked at me and said, really? I said, really? But these are the kinds of questions, Jerry, and this is why we wanted to bring Monsignor Charles Pope on with us to Take Two, because the Take Two family, they love this stuff. They love the real answers to their questions that they may be confused about the Catholic Church.
Indeed, Monsignor, 500 questions in the book. It's got to touch on just about everything, every area, every genre of questions. So how do you break it down? Are they categorized by, you know, topic or genre? How did you do that in the book?
Yeah, they are broken up into, I would say, categories or subjects. So part one is about God. So questions related to the Holy Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And then there's part two, a rather large section, is questions about the Bible and certain verses and interpretations of Bible verses. And then part three is liturgy and sacraments. Regarding the liturgy specifically, you know, general liturgical questions. And then I have some questions on our moral life, on questions on the church, the nature of the church, prayers and practices like, you know, sacramentals, Eucharistic adoration, things outside the formal church liturgies, and then some other topics, and then finally the last things. So those would be, you know, some of the categories, you know, that are in there.
You know, the book's available at EWTNRC.com, as Debbie said. Also on Amazon, just for curiosity, Monsignor, I went and looked at some of the reviews, and a reader named Molly says, this seems like a good reference book for Catholics who haven't practiced their faith in years. She says, I bought this book because I just started going back to church, and there are so many questions I have about the Catholic faith, things I didn't learn in parochial school. Did you envision the book being a tool for maybe those who are away from the faith or didn't really get such a, you know, a blockbuster Catholic education growing up, I guess, is my, I might want to say it that way.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that I wrote it for that reason, certainly. I used to love when I was a younger man, there would be question and answer columns in papers, and I used to love to go, I'd go there first, read the question and answer, and then from there, and I realized over the years how much I learned. And then Father William Saunders, who was the great columnist for the Arlington Catholic Herald in Arlington, Virginia, he had published a compendium of books of all the questions and answers, and I just ate that stuff up. I just loved to read it, and he's a very good, solid Orthodox man and priest, you know. And so anyway, I learned a lot more. Usually the way we teach the faith is very, you know, deductively, you know, we this, then this, and then this. But every now and again, it's just fun to skip around on the ice and do a few pirouettes around a question. And, you know, there's more of an inductive way of learning. So if that, yeah, that'd be the best I can say there. All right.
Yeah. The interesting thing, Jerry, is I recently said on Catholic radio that I think every catechist should read this book because I think it would be a good reference book. Plus, it would clear up any misunderstanding or a misconception or a false idea of what a sacrament or something is in our church, where when teachers are in the classroom, you know, they have to quick answer. And Monsignor Charles Pope gives such great answers to the questions that we ask and everyone asks of him, and he is amazing at giving just a clear a clear answer quickly, and that's what's needed in the classroom. And so did you think about that, Monsignor, that catechists could use this book?
Mm-hmm. I do. I mean, I give the copies of this book, you know, to our RCIA, I guess, what do we call it now, OICA?
OCIA,
We love our little acronyms in the church. But anyway, for those who are converting to the Catholic faith, I give it to them. And, you know, some of the ones, especially who come from, who are already baptized, you know, they are often already on board with a lot of Christian Catholic teachings. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's some of the little details. And I never even thought to ask that question. Wow. What is the answer? You know, mm-hmm. And so it really does. And I think some people, a lot of people, because think of the kind of word culture we're in today. People are constantly flipping through their screens and skipping around. And the idea of sitting in a classroom and learning everything, you know, De Deo Uno, De Deo Trino, of God, God who is one, God who is three. And the kind of format of the catechism is important and it has its place. But so is kind of that skipping around. And one of the things you can do in a book like this is just sort of skip around and just open it up and look at a question and say, Or actually, I'm not interested in that. What's another one? You know, mm-hmm. So it's just one of those ways that, for better or worse, a lot of people learn sort of on the fly today.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. I totally agree, Jerry. You should bring this book into the seminary. I think it would be fabulous.
That would be a great resource. Absolutely. It's written by Monsignor Charles Pope. It's called Catholic and Curious. It contains 500 questions. You can find it at EWTNRC.com. Monsignor Pope is our guest here on this recorded episode of Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. Not taking your live calls today, but we like to give you new, fresh, original content when we are not here live. Monsignor is the pastor of Holy Comforter St. Cyprian Catholic Church in Washington, D.C., and you very likely know him from EWTN and other Catholic media outlets. He is very, very involved in making use of those resources for spreading the faith. And Monsignor, I was thinking too, kind of continuing on what you were just talking about, you know, a lot of times people, when they have a certain question about the faith, they might go to, you know, a search engine and they'll look and they'll find, you know, three or four or five or six references. Then they have to read all the way through those. Some of them are reliable, some maybe not as dependable in terms of orthodoxy and so forth. This seems like the answer for those people who are looking for those, you know, the answers to those questions, and maybe can get kind of lost out there in internet world sometimes.
Yeah, right. You know, I have to say, and yeah, the problem is it reliable what you find on the internet? You know, there's a lot of these things where it's just a bunch of people kind of opining. Well, I think that blah, 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 blah. And some of them are good answers, some of them not so good. You know, of course, there's always the Catholic.com, you know, the Catholic Answers website that's good to go to, too. But so you want to be careful and look for reliable sources. And I'd like to think I'm reliable. According to me, I'm very orthodox, and I can't stand when people mislead God's people or give them answers that are just dumb, pat answers, but they're not really the truth or a partial truth. And so my hope is that these answers are not excessively long, but they're also just long enough to make some distinctions and things that sometimes people don't make when they're answering. And distinctions can be very important.
Oh, yeah. Now, Monsignor, what surprised you the most about putting this book together? Was there something that jumped out at you and you just said, wow, you know, I didn't realize this was such a pressing issue for Catholics? Or was there something that just, you know, give us maybe some of the things that the areas that Catholics really fall short in their understanding, their catechesis?
Yeah. You know, I have to say, the biggest hot topic is liturgy. In my parish, the priest did this, you know, and Lord knows, I mean, there's a lot of bad stuff and a lot of abuse or laziness in the liturgy. And so a lot of them would call, but I think a lot of the questions would come down to maybe more. Sometimes people dogmatize their preferences. You know, why does the priest never say the Confiteor? He should say it more often. Well, okay, but it is an option. So maybe you could let your concerns be known. But at the end of the day, he's not doing anything wrong. Mm-hmm. Or sometimes, you know, the priest used to say the mystery of faith with us, and now he just stands there, and this is terrible. He should, you know, I like the other priest, you know, and again, the priest isn't actually supposed to say the mystery of faith. That's an acclamation of God's good people. Anyway, my point is that sometimes these liturgy things need to be addressed in realizing that there are options and balances to find. Another big area, of course, would be moral questions. How do I deal with, you know, my sister or my brother or my son or daughter is cohabiting and, you know, they want me to come to a marriage outside the church? Or there's bioethical questions. A nurse says, hey, I'm working in a hospital and part of my job is to listen and work with people who want to kill themselves through euthanasia. And what do I need to do? Things like that. A very poignant and difficult question. One of the more interesting questions I had was, it was more of an opinion, but she said, I don't think I'm going to be happy in heaven. Because it sounds like it's crowded up there, and I don't like crowds.
Oh, no.
So I said, well, look, don't just take what's your worldly experience and toss it up into heaven. But on the other hand, it's the communion of saints. It's not the crowd of saints. And the glory of the communion of the saints is that, well, I'll know your story, you'll know my story, mutual love, and, you know, we see each other in the light of God. It will be a joyful, joyful experience of being in the great dance of love that flows from the Trinity and all through the communion of the saints with the angels. It's going to be dynamic and powerful in heaven. Heaven is a very nice place filled with glory and praise. Remember that old song? I want to see my Savior's face because heaven is a very nice place. And so it is. It is that indeed. I look forward to going there one day.
Amen. Praise God.
Yes, indeed.
Monsignor, hold on. Monsignor Charles Pope is our guest on this pre-recorded but original, not yet aired version of you got me talking about Catholic Answers Live. You mentioned Catholic Answers. I hosted that show for 10 years, but that's been a while. I should be over that by now. Remember what show I'm currently on, and that is Take Two with Jerry and Debbie here on EWTN Radio. We're talking about Monsignor Pope's book, Catholic and Curious. Covers just about every subject imaginable in our Catholic faith. It's available at EWTNRC.com. Much more that we're going to talk about with Monsignor Pope, so please do stay with us. Again, not taking your live calls today, but we are so glad that you tuned in, and we appreciate you holding on through this very brief break. We will be right back here on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie on EWTN.
We are back with our wonderful guest, Monsignor Charles Pope, and you can hear Monsignor Charles Pope and see Monsignor Charles Pope on The Quest, and that is his Wonderful show at 4 p.m. Central, 5 p.m. Eastern on Tuesdays and Fridays. And he answers your questions live with Madigan Mayer. And it's so exciting because you can call up and ask Monsignor the questions that we're asking him today about, is there marriage in heaven and things like that. And it's just wonderful. And he's available for you. So to have access to our wonderful priest is an amazing gift. And so take advantage of it. It's The Quest, produced out of Guadalupe Radio Network. You can catch it at GRN Online. And it's a great way to catch Monsignor Charles Pope. But he's our guest on Take Two, and he's a friend of Take Two's. And everybody, the Take Two family loves Monsignor Pope because he does give those really clear answers. And we love that. And Jerry, we do have to mention that the reason why we're not taking calls today, and this is a pre-recorded broadcast put together by our wonderful producer, Michael McCall, is because it's my husband Marty's birthday today. And you know, Jerry, your birthday was 2 days ago. And happy birthday again to you, Jerry. And Marty's is today, and he thinks the fireworks are for him, so I have to take him somewhere where he can see fireworks for his birthday. So that's why we're doing this pre-recorded broadcast. Monsignor, you got to keep things happy in the home, I'm telling you. But so Jerry and I, we just fell in love with this 500 question book that you put together for all of us, Monsignor. And I agree with Jerry. You know, there's so many things we can learn. And I love the way it's how you can just go to it. If you want a certain question answered, you can just pick something up. If it doesn't resonate with you, you can move to a different topic. But Monsignor, have you had any pushback from people reading it, saying, you know, Monsignor, I don't agree with how you answered, or you know, I was taught a different way, or how about this one, Monsignor? How about some feedback of someone saying, why wasn't I taught this when I went to Catholic school? Have you had that kind of feedback? Because I think this book first came out in 2018, so you've had several years now of people, you know, having their reactions to it.
Yeah, I haven't had a lot of pushback. But I can say that while I was writing the column and my questions and answers, the questions and my answers would go into the paper, there might be somebody who objected, considering that my answer was simplistic or something like that. It's usually about people who want to kind of fiddle around with church's teachings on sexuality, marriage, and things like that. But basically, again, the pushback I would get was more live in the sense that someone would write into the paper and they would either send it to me or they would put it in the letter to the editor. Mm-hmm. And so I didn't get a lot of hostility, but surely I had some. I mean, woe to you if everyone speaks well of you, for their father spoke of the false prophets in this way. So, but I hope that even when those debates broke out, like one, you know, remember, well, we had a huge problem about marriage and second marriages and Holy Communion. And sadly, you know, that document came out in 2013. So I would write, well, no, they can't receive Holy Communion. They need to get an annulment. And if that can be granted, and explain why. And, well, that's not what the Pope said. You know, the infamous footnote. So there'd be some debate around that. And, you know, there's some, I didn't put all the objections in a book like this. But I put, like, for example, so many of the people in the LGBTQIA kind of alphabet soup sort of community, you know, they have such bad idea of scripture. I mean, they just don't take it at face value. They have to go through all these twisting into a pretzel to make the text say what it obviously does not say. Mm-hmm. And so those are the kinds of things that, you know, I'd have the most debate about, you know, things like that. And
interesting. Very interesting.
Yeah, and Monsignor, it was 7 years ago that you wrote the book. I'm curious, you know, you obviously cover a lot of topics in the book, things that you have learned about over the course of your years of education and being a pastor and a preacher and all of that. But were there any surprises? Did you learn anything new? I mean, what was the fruit for you as the author of the book that came out of this?
Oh, yeah, I mean, I had to do research pretty consistently. I had to, you know, I couldn't just always answer every single question just off the back of an envelope or something. I would often need to look up, you know, let's check the church teaching. Let's go to the catechism. I quote the catechism a lot if I can. So, yeah, I learned, you know, you probably all know this yourselves. I've always learned more by teaching than by sitting in a classroom. Mm-hmm. There's a time to sit in a classroom, but there's also, yeah, I really learned the faith when I was ordained a priest, and I had to start going out and teaching it. And I do love to teach, and I think that I've learned so much, you know, over the years that you couldn't possibly learn in 4 to 5 years of seminary. And there was a lot of stuff that we learned in seminary I had to unlearn back in the bad old days of the 80s. there was a lot of bad stuff going down in seminaries as far as the teaching of the church. Anyway, and thanks be to God, I had a reasonably good seminary, but there was still a lot of stuff. Well, Jesus never really said that. He never really did this. Blah, blah, blah. Oh, come on. How do you know that? Now, if we don't know that he actually said and did this, I don't care what it means. Anyway, but well, so yeah, I mean, the answer to your question briefly, yes, I've learned a lot by doing things like this.
Do you think this book would make a great gift for someone? I think it would. I think, you know, Christmas is right around the corner. People start shopping in August. I think it would be a fabulous gift.
I do too. It was some years ago when we first came out with it. It was quite popular in our bookstore here at the parish. And hey, my pastor's got a book out, and it is a kind of a nice thing to sort of just keep sitting on a table where you pick it up occasionally and just flip through it. It's not a type of a book you have to read cover to cover. That's what I like most about it. You can just kind of quickly flip through and see the questions in bold, and then say, yeah, that is interesting, or just, I don't care about that, and just flip around and learn as you like, so to speak.
Well, I got to tell you, I was fascinated by it. When I said to Jerry, it was so interesting when we were preparing for this recorded broadcast, I said to Jerry, I said, do you realize he put together 500 questions? I mean, that's a lot. You know, you get books sometimes and they go, the 25 most frequently asked questions, or, you know, and you're like, 25, well, that's a lot. 500. I mean, this is incredible. And you're covering so many things, Monsignor. Thank you so much for doing this. It's brilliant. And I know you put it together from all your previous work. And that's even better, because that means you've answered the questions, you've researched them all, you've done all that hard work behind the scenes, and then you can deliver it to us and we can use it with our families and friends and in the classroom. So thank you. And Jerry, real quickly, I'm curious, you're in seminary right now. So are you seeing that? Like when things are being discussed or classes are being given in the seminary, are there new things that you're receiving? Because, I mean, you've done so much work on radio. You've probably picked up a lot of information. Plus, you were in seminary before. So are you learning new things too?
Well, I think always we're learning new things. I was in formation, like you said, for 6 years from 1989 to 95. Unfortunately, my credits didn't transfer because they were 30 years old, and the Pope St. John the 23rd National Seminary takes them only 10 years old. So I'm redoing some courses, but, you know, it's refreshing to redo those courses, and it's different, you know, different resources, different books, different authors we're reading and all of that. So, it really is. It's a great experience to be going through this again. And, you know, Monsignor, I had a question, too, about, you know, a lot of things have happened to come onto the scene, especially in the moral realm, you know, since 2018. You mentioned the book, you know, might address LGBTQIA and this sort of thing. But I don't know if the whole issue of, you know, transgender and, you know, gender identity and all of this stuff was even an issue back then, or whether do you include anything like that in the book? And if not, do you see yourself maybe revising the book?
Well, actually, I was thinking of putting out a second edition, because I have that many questions and answers sitting in my files. And I'm thinking about calling OSV and maybe seeing if they want to do it. If not, maybe another publisher. But I would say there are brief mentions of transgenderism that was going on at the time, and it wasn't quite as upfront and in your face as it became after COVID time. So, but as I say, I have to say, there's just nothing more diabolical than this whole idea that somehow my body doesn't matter. That is total Gnostic dualism. My body is irrelevant to who I think I am. No, we're a body-soul combination. And my body points to my soul to my body. There's this hylomorphic kind of union that we have. So anyway, the point is that it rejects what God has made us. And, you know, what is it? Can the pot say to the potter, why did you make me thus? You know, and yet, very often we do. And so I think it is a very, it, 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 well, every now and again, you start to figure out that rock bottom has a basement. And I just I just can't even imagine why we were even debating the topic. It's so obviously untrue. And it's so, I mean, there's a passion that I sometimes have to get out there and answer these questions. And but people, it's amazing how they latched onto that. But yeah, there are many moral topics, I think, that need, you know, further treatment, which I did in subsequent years after 2018. So
great.
Wow. I've got a question for you, Monsignor. This comes up quite frequently in when we do our work in Catholic radio. This idea that there's so many different nuances to the confession, the sacrament, the experience that one has in the confessional. And I've heard it said many times that the priest is supposed to ask you to say the act of contrition. But recently there's been this kind of to move things along a little quicker, they'll say, go out to the pew and say your act of contrition. Is that a valid way of doing the sacrament? I'm just curious. Or is it okay? Is that one of those things you're talking about that you don't necessarily have to say it in the confessional?
It's certainly not an invalidating matter. The priest can, you know, for a just cause, as the code says, you know, dispense with the act of contrition, at least there in the confessional. So sometimes, like last night, I had confession, thanks be to God. I was busy for 45 minutes before the evening mass.
Wow.
And right up to the end, I mean, the line was still kind of, so I had to move it. So I said, please do me a favor and pray your act of contrition out in your pew, and here's your penance, and I'll say the prayer. But that's for a just cause. It shouldn't be something a priest routine. Routinely does. So I only do that late in the session. I mean, I like when it's starting to become like 5 minutes before mass time, I have to kind of move it. And again, the main thing here is that it's a just reason that the priest dispenses with the act of contrition. The main event is to hear the sins and recite the absolution. You know, exactly as once again, we had so many years where you go into a confessional and Lord knows what the priest would say. I help you to feel better now in the name of no, Father, I really need the real proof. So thanks. I think that's lessening now.
So what if they don't even ask you to do an act of contrition? Can you just go do one on your own? I mean, that doesn't invalidate it, right?
No, it doesn't invalidate it.
Okay.
It would just be, and the priest should, and if he doesn't, he should explain why. I'm doing this because we've got to, somebody told me there's three more people behind you, and we just have to quickly move, so I hope you understand.
Gotcha.
One time I had a person say, but Father, I really need to say it. I said, okay, then say it. But it's not invalidating, no.
I bet you get a lot of people in your confession lines. I would, like, if I lived in D.C., I would totally go to you for confession, because I think you're so, you deliver, no, what I love about you, seriously, I really mean this, what you do, you deliver so well, you communicate well, and you have a great sense of humor, and you just explain things in layman's terms, and I think that is so refreshing. And I'm not saying anything against any other theologian or any other priest or any other bishop. It's just sometimes people are trying to use these nine-syllable words all the time, and I'm stuck on the first sentence, and I'm like, well, now I have to, you know, look that up and figure out what he said for the first sentence. But you share things, and I'm like, I get it, that makes sense. So thank you, for you're very gifted in that area, Monsignor.
Here's a good question for you. How does the apokatastasis relate to the parousia?
Seems like I might have covered that in seminary class, but I usually retain things long enough to take the exam, Monsignor, and then after that, it's pretty much gone.
Amen to that. Yes, Lord. Anyway, I love these fancy words we use, and I love the Latin and Greek roots, and some of the questions in this book, you know, I answer that way. Well, you know, the word, for example, patience is from a Latin root word meaning patior, which means I am made to suffer. And we get the word patience from patior. And so, therefore, patience is a form of suffering. And it is the capacity or the willingness to suffer for some greater good or purpose.
Wow.
And
see,
it links
Jerry?
It more to the cross if you sort of unpack the word there a little bit. You know?
Yeah. So next time I have to be patient, I'm really suffering. That's a good thing.
You can offer it up.
Offer it up, right.
Yeah.
This is a pre-record of Take Two with Jerry and Debbie having a wonderful conversation with Monsignor Charles Pope. It is a pre-record because today is Marty Giorgiani's birthday, and if that last name sounds familiar, it's because Debbie Giorgiani is married to Marty, and Debbie is always treats Marty to a wonderful birthday gift, and so they are taking this day off, and as Debbie says, Marty thinks the fireworks are for him, but I actually think they're for me, since my birthday was a couple of days ago on July 1st. But anyway, be that as it may, we're talking about Monsignor Pope's book from 2018 called Catholic and Curious, and just 500 questions in this book, Monsignor. And do you have, I imagine you're still writing the column, I believe you said, so you probably have a good storehouse of other questions that could be, yeah. Are there any questions that that kind of at least initially stump you at all, or do you pretty much have a grasp on the answer to all the questions you receive?
Yeah, you know, I think that there are questions in terms of doctrine where, for example, I needed to go back and just double, read Ludwig Ott's, doctrinal books and stuff just to get to the set of it. But, there's also a whole host of questions that are really prudential matters. And that's one of the things I think a lot of people, like, for example, the question of tattooing. Everyone's getting all tatted up today. Mm-hmm. And, I'm old enough to say, to me, that was always a horrendous thing. Even when men would get all tatted up, I just thought, this is not right. But again, cultures go where they go, and it's really popular. So, again, so what about tattoos? So I would teach a little bit. Well, there isn't a formal teaching. There is a text in Leviticus about not cutting yourself or marking your skin with tattoos. But it's very specific to a kind of a setting there where they were dedicating themselves to some god and so on. But I will say that I just think that to treat our body like a canvas that we can just write all over and not just a temporary thing, a permanent way, I think is just not prudent or wise. I would also say that I know that there are people who really would say, hey, Father, there's nothing wrong with that. Come on, man. But even in exorcism ministry, we have to decommission certain tattoos. I mean, the tattoo world has a lot of darkness in it, too. You go to these tattoo parlors, and there's a lot of weird stuff they're inking up. And some of these inks are said to be dedicated to Satan. And so people show up, and they're tatted up, and they say, well, let's at least decommission. Now, so I'm trying to say here that we have to hold a balance, though. I have to respect the fact that even though I don't like it, the church doesn't have some rule, oh, you shouldn't be doing that. I just advise against it. I just don't think it's a good idea. And a lot of times I was tempted to do things in my 20s that I'm glad I didn't do because I was dumb in my 20s. And, so all of those are just ways of saying, so a lot of the questions come down to some of these prudential things where you have to say to somebody, okay, there isn't an exact rule about getting all tatted up or, even small tattoos, but why? Why are you doing that? What are you trying to get to? Right. What's the purpose? I mean, just ask them to reflect spiritually on it. And I just want to get back to that idea that our skin, our bodies are sacred to the Lord, especially after we're baptized. And so just to treat it with the kind of respect that I think it should have.
Yeah. And don't you kind of think that the whole tattoo mindset, Monsignor, is a lot to do with this heresy that won't go away, Gnosticism, with this idea of, I can do whatever I want to the body because it's no big deal. I can just... Yeah, and so it's very interesting how Gnosticism creeps into so many things, and we're seeing it very recently with different various aspects of the New Age that are just rising up again in various ways that in forms of entertainment. It's interesting, Monsignor, I don't know if you encountered this in your blog or on your radio show, but there are so many people now that when you get a wedding invitation or you get a shower invitation or some event, they have tarot card readings as the entertainment for the event, the occasion. And it's like like the hot thing to do. Like everybody's doing it. It's so cool, And it's so creepy because I can't even imagine going to a wedding where you're supposed to be celebrating when a man and a woman become one and how beautiful it is in the covenant relationship. And then you've got a tarot reader sitting, a couple places down the event hall. I mean, it just doesn't make any sense. I don't know what we're doing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's obviously a sin. It's against the first commandment. It's called divination, trying to somehow know the future or control it in some way. And I'm sorry, that is not for us. That belongs to God. And as for our bodies, well, mm-hmm. you know, a lot of people say, well, it's my body. I can do with it. Well, it isn't really. St. Paul says, you are not your own. You have been purchased and at a price. So glorify God in your body. Mm-hmm. So my body is not just my own to do whatever I want with. I need to. And again, is God storming from heaven saying, how dare you tattoo? You know, some people just get a small little tattoo. I'm not here to say it's intrinsically wrong. As a pastor, I have to teach what the church teaches, but not more. But I can simply advise that I just don't think it's a good, especially because it's so permanent. Mm, and it's right. so hard to remove if they ever did want to have it removed. And so, but even now the face and all over the arms, and it's not like there's something weird going on there. And I just say, danger, Will Robinson, danger, Wilhelmina Robinson. You have to be kind of older to remember
Lost
what that,
in
you know,
space.
Danger, Will Robinson.
I remember Jerry and I always are quoting these older shows that totally date us. Right. But we love it. Yeah. Lost in Space. Those are the good old days, those shows. So Jerry, in the last few minutes,
I'm sorry. Just one final thought about this, just to say that again, there's just an awful lot of these trends. And I think that we have to address them, even if there's no absolute rule, and maybe just give advice. So that's sometimes the nature of a question and answer column, too.
Sure, sure. Yeah. Oh, it's fabulous.
Got about 5 minutes left in this wonderful, impactful and eye-opening conversation with Monsignor Charles Pope about his book. It's called Catholic and Curious. You'll find it at EWTNRC.com. If you ever wanted to have a resource on your bookshelf that will not collect dust, this is one of them. It has 500 questions and answers that Monsignor Pope has addressed over the years in his columns. And it is just an amazing resource. And Monsignor, as we head toward the final, say, about 4 minutes of this broadcast today, you've touched upon it already as far as what you might want to do in the future, but do you have any other projects, like, you know, this is the kind of a question and answer genre of book, anything else that you're working on in the media? You are, I love the fact that as a priest, you make use of the media. That is, I think you're so, mm-hmm. you know, proactive and forward thinking there, but any other projects you have coming down that we might want to get a little sneak peek on?
Yeah, I recently published a book, The Hell There Is, which is it's a defense of the church's teaching and the biblical teaching. Those who say, "Well, come on, hell's large." But I also want to add to that a little bit like Dante, but I'm no Dante, but to say I want to do a Purgatorio and a Paradiso. I want to do a book on purgatory, and then a book on heaven. And I got purgatory pretty well underway, and so I hope to publish that, because that too is a doctrine that is largely misunderstood, people, you know, and so on. So I'm doing that. I also have a book out also at TAN Publications of the Ten Commandments. It's just mm-hmm. a kind of a commentary on the Ten Commandments from the Catechism, and it's a little pocket-sized book. You know, you can almost put it in your lapel jacket or something, and it's I think hopefully quick and readable. So that's been a popular seller over the years too.
Mm-hmm. And if you want to catch Monsignor live on a radio show that you can call in Tuesdays and Fridays on The Quest, 4 p.m. Central, 5 p.m. Eastern on the Guadalupe Radio Network. That's GRN Online. It's so exciting because I learned so much from you, Monsignor, and it's been such a joy to have you with the Take Two family. We've been going strong for 10 years, Monsignor, and we traveled with the Take Two family, and they, I can tell you this, they are definitely Catholic and definitely curious. And so this book is just perfect for them. And we just want to thank you so much. Please, Jerry, make sure before we close this beautiful pre-recorded broadcast that Michael McCall put together for our listeners, we really want a blessing from Monsignor before Independence Day.
Yeah, well, would you please consider doing a little short prayer and your priestly blessing for our Take Two family, Monsignor?
Yes, Lord, help us to understand freedom. As St. Paul says, it was for freedom that Christ freed us, but not a freedom that just gives free rein to the flesh. So help us to know that freedom has its parameters inside your commandments and your love for us. So we ask a blessing now for ourselves and for our nation. And may Almighty God bless you all, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Monsignor Pope, for being with us here. And God's blessings on your ministry. You are doing great work there in the nation's capital. It can't always be easy, I'm sure, but you are the right one for the job in that in your parishes there. So thank you so much for your time on the program today. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Yes. Yeah. And Monsignor, you got to keep going because we want that second book. Okay. We expect that book. We expect it for you to constantly be forming us in the faith because we all want to get to heaven too. And then we want to read your heaven book, Monsignor.
All right. The Great Dance of Heaven. Yes, indeed. All right.
Amen. There you go. God bless you. Well, thank you so much, Jerry.
Thank you.
Yeah. Amen. Tomorrow, Independence Day, we have a pre-recorded broadcast for you tomorrow. Hope that you have a chance to spend a little bit of time resting, reflecting, relaxing, getting rejuvenated, hopefully with family, friends, loved ones, maybe a little bit of baseball, maybe another sport, maybe a barbecue somewhere. Coming up on Monday, we have our next live show. We're going to be talking about putting down the gadgets. That'll be our lead broadcast of next week here on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. Again, we want to thank our producer, Michael McCall, always doing a great job behind the scenes here, but we want to give credit where credit is due. And on our live shows, we have all of our call screeners and social media people. So thanks to the Take Two family and the Take Two show team. And thanks to you for listening today. Until we talk to you again tomorrow, have a beautiful and blessed day.